Okay, well, I suppose we should get going as people filter in here. So, Klahauya.
Klahauya.
Everyone.
Klahauya.
Greetings.
Welcome to the teaching of the medicine wheel. This is week two on our 21st day of January. And I believe a Koksun Mox of our medicine wheel teachings. Now we're joined together again for a time of sharing, learning, preserving heritage for many generations to come. As always, our mission with this hour is to preserve stories and traditions of the medicine wheel teachings as shared by Grandfather Roy Wilson. Now we have transitioned from our native stories, of which we met and recorded a lot. That was a very satisfying journey. And now we are going to the journey of the medicine wheel. And there is my cat. We are putting an extensive teaching into a compact time frame, as well as teaching in two dimensions rather than person. But this methodology is a methodology of the times. And a bright spot is that we are able to have people join us from far away, because with this sharing method, there is no physical distance. It is no longer an issue. So welcome, gathered from near and gathered from afar. An important segment of this preservation effort is our lesson in Chinook Wawa, hosted by Rainbow and hosted by Marsha. So join me as we are again gifted by the master storyteller, Grandfather Roy Wilson. Lahaya, Grandfather.
Lahaya.
Take it away.
Masi, masi. Lahaya, my dear Medicine Wheel family group. Well, tonight is the second moon of the North. January 20th, that was yesterday, through February 18th. So we're just now entering into this new moon, which will be in for about a month. And it's going to have some very interesting powers. One of the things I want to say that I haven't said so far is, well, before I tell you that, of something I taught you and said to you, we're going to ask many times. I am
the wheel.
And
the wheel is me.
You are
the wheel.
And
the wheel is me.
You.
We are
the wheel.
And
The wheel is us.
Now, what does that have to do with what I'm about to tell you? Well, you are the entire wheel. I am the entire wheel, not just where we entered the wheel. And each moon, when we move into it, as we are now moving into the Otter moon, whenever you enter another moon, the powers of that particular moon are at their most effective time during the entire year. Consequently, as we're talking about, for example, otter, we'll be talking about otter as your animal totem for this moon. It is not only powerful to those who were born in this moon, those powers come naturally for them, but as I give you these powers, you may feel, I'm very weak in this, and you need to work on it this month. Is the month where the otter powers are the most powerful, most effective for all of us. This is the time when you can work more effectively with doing this. For example, otter is a very fun-loving and playful animal. Otter people have a great sense of great and good humor. They are fun-loving people. They are the lifetime of the party. And you may feel, that's not me. I'm a dullhead. I know it. Well, if you need to work on your ability to be more humorous, this is the month that you can work at it with the greatest profit and potential, because this is the moon when it's in full operation. So this is the second moon of the north. It is the rest and cleansing moon. The last moon that we had last week, the snow goose moon, was the earth cleansing moon. But now all the deciduous trees have lost their leaves. There's no fruit growing. There's no grass growing in the lawn. There are no flowers growing. The earth is resting. It's resting and cleansing and getting ready to go back to work again, and it wakes up in the spring. The animal totem power for this month is otter. The plant totem power is the quaking aspen tree. And the mineral power is silver. So we'll look first at otter. As I started and saying, otter is a very fun-loving animal, and the otter loves the water. Otter people are usually very fun-loving. They're the life of the party. They love the water. That's just a part of their normal nature. They were born with that natural power. Otter people also are like the otter. The otter is the most powerful of all the animals in the use of tools. Otter can pick up a clam, and the tool, otter will pick up a stone off of the riverbank, lie back in the water on his or her back, place the clam on her chest, and use that rock for a tool to break open the clam and enjoy a good meal. Otter people are very good and useful with tools. You'll find many times a woman that was born with the otter power, she may be doing her own car mechanical work, in there changing spark plugs or whatever. She may be the one that's doing and taking the hammer and the saw and the drill and all, and doing remodeling work in her home. The otter people are great with tools. I didn't ask, do we have any of these people here tonight that were born under this moon? Okay, I don't see any hands. But if you were a snow goose person, what I'm going to tell you tonight about this moon, you'll feel very comfortable with this. And if you are of the next moon that we'll have next Thursday night, you also will feel very comfortable with this. If you're born on the opposite side of the wheel, you're going to probably feel you're real weak in this. You feel like you're a dull head. You don't have much humor. But this is the time to really work on it, to bring the wheel of your life into balance. As we say, otter is fun-loving and loves the water. And it's not unusual for otter to, in the spring and in the summer, to on the riverbank, to create a mudslide down the bank into the water and play follow the leader and play tag. In the snow, in the winter, they'll play slides on the snow and slide into the river and water and play tag and play follow the leader. They are very, very great, wonderful, friendly companions. They have a potential to be very emotional, but you don't see it. They feel those strong emotions. They have them within them, but they have a tendency to try and hide it. They want to feel more like they're supposed to be normal or whatever. So what they will tend to do many times is they tend to try and convert those strong emotional feelings into intellectual discussions. If you have a friend who's an otter person born during this January 20th to February 18th, you may soon discover that that's very true about them. They're always trying to enter into some kind of an intellectual discussion. Well, what they're doing, they're just hiding their emotional feelings. The plant totem, the quaking aspen, it is also known to some, by some people as the American aspen. And others, it's known as the white poplar. It's all the same tree. It just goes by different names. It has, you can take the bark or the buds on it and use them in a tea for medicine powers for your body physically. The leaves of the quaking aspen are a green with a kind of a white silvery, a silvery tint to the leaves. And if there's a gentle breeze blowing and you're sitting underneath or standing underneath one of these quaking aspen trees, it will sound like there are 1,000 little tiny silver bells ringing. Silver. What is interesting, silver is your mineral totem for this moon. And you'll find that the silver for Indian people many times brings revelations or thoughts of Grandmother Moon. Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard this song in many years, but it used to be one of the populars when I was young. By the light of the silvery moon. That was just another way the white man saw, that the Indian also saw. The moon, or the silver, the quaking aspen, put it that way, quaking aspen has a bud on it called the balm of Gilead. What is interesting is that if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, you'll find, hear the prophet Jeremiah speaking of the herbal medicine power of the balm of Gilead. And he says this, and the balm of Gilead is worth 10 times its weight in silver. Wow. And he brings the silver and the quaking aspen, balm of Gilead, bed in the harmony with each other. This is the Indian's den. Silver, as the quaking aspen and otter totems, being the mineral totem for these people, and for you and me, in that, as we're in that moon, is recognized as probably the second most valuable and wealthy mineral in existence. Silver is used in chalices, tableware, silver coins, in different ways for its beauty. Medicine wheel people, silver people, otter people who have the silver totem, have a tendency to attract wealth. Now, if you have a friend or a loved one, maybe a sister or brother or mom or a dad or something, and they were born under this moon, and you were to tell them this, they'd probably look in and say, well, that doesn't work for me. I didn't attract wealth. The problem is that Americans, if you use the word wealth, they only have one thing in mind, money, 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 money. Wealthy, if not being wealthy, all has to do with money, but that's not true. It's more to it than that. For these people may or may not attract wealth economically, but they may be very, very rich and wealthy in many friends or spiritual wealth, sociological wealth, in many different ways to be wealthy We have a rich and powerful and wonderful life. This is a totem power of silver for these people in this moon. Maybe I'll put it this way, since you are not, none of you were born under this moon, and you may be born on the opposite side of the wheel, and you're weak in all this, you feel, well, start practicing otter power, being fun-loving with your friends instead of being a gripe. Create a sense of humor. And all of a sudden, you'll find many more new friends. You become wealthy, and now your silver totem comes in power. Because you've utilized all of your powers, and now you become wealthy and rich in many new friends. So here we are with the second moon of the north, otter, quaking aspen, and silver. Open forum, questions, comments. Is that Marcia? I see a hand.
Yes. Yes. So I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
Roy and I have a, actually my best friend's name is Kristen. And
I can't quite get that, Marcia.
Listen, okay. You know, my best friend, Kristen, who I met through Medicine Wheel.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And Roy, and her birthday is February 15th, and Roy, you gave her the name Silver Heart Singing. So there's a silver in Kristen's Indian name from her totem powers.
Yes, yes.
Silver Heart Singing. And then I have twin sisters, and their birthday's January 25th. And when Roy was giving Indian names to some of our family at a family reunion, he named my sister Linda a jargon name, which is Klimen Nenemux, which means gentle otter. Yeah. And I don't know if he did that out of his meditation because he knew when her birthday was, but I really think it was because he knew her personality, and he yes. named her gentle otter because that's what she showed. I don't think he knew her birthday, but he named her Gentle Otter.
Yeah.
And she's one of the, when the Cowlitz tribe was going through federal recognition, and they interviewed a lot of us for that in the late 90s, in the report they wrote up, they said that, this will make me cry, that my sister Linda was one of the most beloved people in our tribe because she's so gentle
yeah.
and so caring and compassionate. But a very hard worker. She was yeah. the secretary for the tribe and the tribal council for many, many years, and still yes. has served as a secretary for the health board. And so she's very detail oriented and fair and kind. And so I think that she shows, and playful, she shows those different characteristics of the gentle otter, just like Roy named her, and just like this sign would indicate. So I think it plays out. I think it really does in people.
Thank you, Marcia, for sharing that. Your sister, Linda, is one of the most gentle, peaceful, loving persons I've ever known. She is such a beautiful personality, and she fits all of this, because people, if you have an otter person in your group, that otter person brings loving, gentle spirit to the entire group that she is in, he or she. And your sister Linda and her twin, they both, but I know Linda a lot better than I know her twin, is you can just be proud she's a part of your family. She's magic. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. Thank you for sharing something about her tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Grandfather, could you give me the dates for tonight's portion of the wheel?
Oh, for this portion?
Yeah. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. January 20th, which was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Through until February 18th.
February 18th. February 18th is my sister's birthday.
February 18th.
Okay. Okay. I have a sister who was born on February 18th. Is there any significance about being born on the crux of transition?
Well, if she was born on February 18th, she's right on the very cusp of both the Otter clan, or this clan, and the clan that we will be discussing about next week, the Cougar clan.
Okay.
She's on the closing day of one, and the next day is the opening day of the next one. So she's going to have a lot of the powers of this clan, this totem, as well as of the next one.
That's interesting, because I can see those in her, definitely. She makes a lot more sense knowing that she's on the cusp of these two, rather than just being one.
She may, if you don't see much of this in her, she may be tending more to that next one that we'll be talking about next week. And I will just say this, that I've every once in a while, it's very rare, most people really identify with what I tell them about their totem power, but once in a great while, I'll have a person say, that isn't me at all. And I just kind of smile and say, well, you've just been denying who you really are. You have the powers, and they're asleep within you. You're hibernating, spiritually hibernating. Wake up. Become aware of who you are, and you need to start practicing those powers, and they will come alive. And your sister, whoever it was that you mentioned, just needs to wake up and realize the great powers of joy, humor, fun-loving are there within her.
Mm-hmm. And that's funny you say that, because I believe she does. And she lives those powers. I just didn't understand. And of course, she doesn't know the medicine wheel, but that's interesting that she's living that without the knowledge of the wheel, because I can see where that she fits into both of those so perfectly.
The thing is that the people of the universe are all of them practicing these powers. Even though they're not aware of the teachings of the medicine wheel, all the medicine wheel do is saying who you are. It's not trying to teach you. It's declaring who you are, because that's who you are, no matter whether you know about the wheel or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll play this. There are a lot of people out there who are not Christians. In fact, some of them don't even know anything about the teachings of Christianity. But you get to know them, and you think they're living a better Christian life than a lot of people call themselves Christians. All it is that the Creator created us in the image of the Creator, and we all have these powers. It's just the godly powers. But some of us have them just by natural birth, others by practicing them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tom.
Yes. So grandfather, when this says, hold on, which one am I at? This one. It has for the plants. Whoops. Okay, let me have it. Thank you. For the plants, it has the north being the search for truth. What is that?
Tell them it's at the top of the red column.
At the top of the red column.
Yeah.
For the plants, it has the search for truth.
The search for truth?
Yes.
Doesn't it say otter or quaking aspen? No, that wouldn't be otter. This is the plant totem. It would be the quaking aspen. Doesn't it say that?
Right.
I would say this, that the wheel we got looking here, Sorzai created this for me, and my eyes are so poor, that print is so small, I can't read what is there, but if you look in my workbook, you'll find that it gives you what I've been teaching you.
Okay, all right. We'll figure that one out later. Thank you.
Hi, Richard and Donna. Okay, I'm ready to turn it. If there are no more questions or comments, if you got it, go ahead and jump in. Hi, Johnny. And if not, well, I turn it to Marcia and Rainbow.
Well, that was wonderful. Thank you, thank you. It is amazes me what we can do in the flat, and what we can do within our time frame. And I am very proud of us for making our world fit the times. Never saying we can't, but we just find a way to go ahead and do it. Yeah. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our two inspiring teachers, to Marcia and to Laura. Take it away.
Go ahead, Laura, did you want to lead off? Oh, we can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Let's see.
She knows we can't hear her. Okay.
Let's see. Let's see if we can get her unmuted. We may have to try this. Okay. Well, I don't know how to get her unmuted. Do you know, Tom?
It shows her phone being muted.
Yeah, and when someone calls in with their phone, it's very hard to unmute them. Okay. So if just be patient, we should get it figured out here.
Her mouth is moving.
I know. I just don't know how to work with the telephone calls and the mute function. So we may have to punt here, Marcia, and have you go ahead with the lesson. There, she's trying to call in again, but go ahead. Thank you.
Well, I always like to meet anybody who's joining us for the first time. So Richard and Donna, I don't know you. If you could unmute. I'm Marcia Williams. I live in Gig Harbor. I'm a cousin of Roy's, member of the Cowlitz tribe, like I said. And Laura and I and some other folks here have been taking Chinook jargon classes from Roy for actually several years, but we've never got to study as intensely as we have through this process, because now we're meeting together every week instead of every month. So we started with a pretty elementary vocabulary and conversations, and we really are still working on that. So if you're joining this for the jargon, hopefully you are. I don't want you to feel lost. We'll get you the material, but we're always just like beginners here. So would you tell me a little bit about yourselves?
Nice to meet you, Marcia. Uh-huh. And Donna and I were members of Green Mountain Clan in Randall for many, many years.
Oh.
Her her grandfather would do the teachings on the medicine wheel.
All right.
So we teachings for probably about 45 plus years. And so, yeah, I'm quite familiar with some of it. I know Rainbow, and she kind of got us started on some of the jargon, and we didn't follow through quite as much as what we'd hoped, but we figured we'd try and check in once in a while and pick up some more.
That's great.
Marcia, do you know Jack?
I don't. Hi.
I think I saw you many months ago, and now I'm tuning back in. I live in Seattle, and I have a place down in near Mossy Rock and Winston Creek Road. You know that area.
Uh-huh.
And I've been visiting with grandfather regularly for the last couple of years now, I could think. And been to some of his medicine wheel teaching, have his books, and we've been having discussions fairly regularly the last several months. And I happened to call him today and found out that you'd switch from Tuesdays to Thursdays, and it's going to be a better day for me than Tuesdays were to tune in. So thank you for keeping this going. I'm very interested in what's going on. I've got his books and I'm reading them at a reasonable pace. So
excellent.
And the language, I haven't tuned into that too much, so I'm very interested in listening in.
Oh, good. Hopefully you can, if you share, and same with Don and Richard, if you share your email addresses with us in the chat, we'll try to pick that up. Maybe Penny, you'd pick that up. And then we can send you the material, because it's several pages of vocabulary and then some other extra words. And that's our main reference outside of Roy's Chinook Wawa book, his dictionary that he compiled. Mm-hmm. So Jack, you probably have this, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Richard and Donna.
You sent it to me.
Okay. I think we might have that one, or we
okay.
have a paper bound one.
Yeah, this is paper.
Uh-huh.
This is paper.
We have one.
Oh, that's really good. So the vocabulary that we have, this doesn't sound funny, but that we've agreed upon using is what is in this book. Roy put together, as you know, 23 dictionaries to produce this one dictionary. So he uses the most common pronunciation that he found and the most common definitions of words. Sometimes there's a little bit of difference in words if you go to other dictionaries, but we kind of, because everybody has this, we've all agreed to use this as our main source book. And then he has a supplement, but this is where we go. If we want to officially say, okay, this is how it's pronounced, well, it's from this book. That's how we do it. So I guess we're ready to go. Laura's still not with us.
Yes.
Verbally.
Am I in now?
Yes. Oh, fabulous.
Yay. Okay. I had to go out and come back in. I wanted to say about otter, there's two types of otters. The one that grandfather's been talking about tonight the most is the river otter or the land otter. But up here, the sea otter was extremely important.
Yes.
And one of the things that brought the Russians down into this area was the sea otters. There were so many of them. And the word for land otter and sea otter are different. The yeah. land otter is Nemamux, and Mook, M-O-O-K, is the accent Nemamux. But the sea otter is Elaki, and it's heavy on the lack. So there's two different types of otters. And also, I had a friend that was an otter, and he was always looking for things that were native made that were otter, and it was very hard to find any. And I remember one time I was up at the Sklallam Cultural Center, and there was a man there, and I said, I says, why is there so little otter? Because there were a lot of otters around here. And I said, you know, there's lots of seal, whale, wolf, bear, eagle, raven, you know, totems and dishes and things made. And he looked at me like that was a stupid question. He says, well, we didn't like sea otter. We didn't like the otter because they're a pest. He said they would come and rob the fish racks when they were drying the fish. And the otters had no fear of people whatsoever. They would walk right up to the racks and rip it off. They'd even come into the houses and take fish. So to them, the only good otter was a dead otter. So I just wanted to add that about otters, because when you do look at native art around here, very seldom will you see an otter. And if you do, it's probably been made for the tourist trade.
I'll say a word about otter. Otter became almost extinct in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. The reason? Their pelt sold for $2,000 to $2,500 a piece, and they went hunted almost to extinction. But we still have them here.
Yeah. And then one thing I thought really interesting about otter is that they feed around the kelp beds. They're very, very good about diving down and getting sea urchins. That's one of their favorite foods, is sea urchin. And when they killed the otters off, the sea urchins started over multiplying and were killing off the kelp beds. So, you know, that's one of those things where everything is in balance and everything's here for a reason. Yeah. And one of the things that was that's interesting is that when an otter sleeps, because they sleep in the ocean, they wrap themselves in the kelp so that they won't float away on the tide and get lost out at sea. So, yeah. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for that little addition.
So, Laura, did you have something you wanted to do for jargon specifically?
No, you're just doing wonderful. You just carry right on.
All right. Well, I was just going to try to have us do our sort of round robin game with vocabulary, and just for those of us who have the vocabulary lists handy, we'll just go through kind of alphabetically. And so I will say a word starting with A, and I'll address it to somebody, and they'll say what the definition is. And so if you can say it from memory, of course, that's fabulous. If you have to consult your paper, just do that. It's fine, because we're just reinforcing our learning. So if I said something to Penny and then she answered and then Penny, I'd do the A, and then Penny would go to B or C, because there's only one B word. Go to C, and she would address a C word to Laura, and Laura would define it, and then she would choose somebody else. Just work through the alphabet like that. And you know, right now some of the letters have just one or two words, and there's actually letters in jargon that aren't represented by any words at all, even if we had the whole dictionary before us, because they were sounds that were not in a native language that the natives couldn't say very easily. And so some letters will be missing, but if that makes sense, I'm gonna start, and I'm gonna go to Laura, and I'm gonna say Onkati.
Onkati. Onkati is a time in the past, and how long ago it goes in the past is how far you draw out the on part of it. So if it just happened, you know, earlier today, it'd be on cutty. And if it was happened last year, it might be on cutty. And if it's long, long, long time ago, then you could say delayed, very on cutty. or you could go on cutty. And the one thing about the cutty is it's a very fast chopped off sound. It's like you're actually cutting that word off. And sometimes grandfather says on cutty. So if you say on cutty or on cutty, it's the same thing. It's sort of like a Southern accent versus a Midwestern accent or something. We'll just have to accept that that's the way you say it, okay? All right. Okay. Judy. Yep.
Yes.
All right. How about aughts? Do you remember aughts?
Aughts?
Aughts. A-H-T-S. A-H-T-S. Aughts.
It says, sister, younger than speaker. I don't have one.
And so I think it's interesting to remember that your cousins were considered your immediate family also. You were often raised by your uncles and aunts. And that was to keep down friction between parents and children. But so a younger cousin, female cousin, could be your aunts too.
Thank you for that.
So Judy, let's have you do a B or C word addressed to somebody.
Oh, this past week I've been working on the story of my fourth great grandfather. So Chope. Let's see, let's have Dannon. Dannon, can you tell me about Chope? Other than what I just said.
Grandfather means grandfather.
Good.
Okay.
I want to share something with you about our descendants that I haven't shared with any of you lately. But just a few weeks ago, I had another descendant born, my fourth double great, great, great grandchild.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Okay, Danny, go with a D word or a okay. An E word.
Delate. Laura. Oh.
Yes.
Calling on you again.
All right. Delate, for the most part, means very. Anywhere way we would use the word very is delate. But it means more than that, too. It also means straight, like a straight talk, you know, you're telling the truth. That can be delayed also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see. Richard and Donna.
Do they have the material?
Do you have, they might know this anyway. Do you know what the word chuck means?
Water.
They might. Salt chuck?
Or skookum chuck? It means water.
Salt chuck is the ocean. Skookum chuck is powerful water.
You guys are muted.
Yeah, I think they're working on it.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
We move on to a, there okay. we go.
Sorry about that. No, we don't remember on that one. I remember water. Micah and Ica that I have.
Oh, that's good.
I've got a few of them.
All right. Well, tell us about Micah and Nika then.
I think Micah is I and Ica is. Oh man, I don't even remember that one.
It's just the opposite.
Is I and one is you, I think.
Nika is me and Micah is you.
Okay, Micah is me and Ica.
Micah is me and Micah is you.
Okay. We'll have to get her, we'll have to get her booked out for the next meeting.
Well, and yeah. Tom just put in the chat a link to the vocabulary, which was on the Unity of Centralia website. You can get it from there.
Okay.
And the same for you, Jack. You can get it from there. I just saw.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Marcia.
Uh-huh. Laura, how about you give an E word to Penny?
An E word?
Yeah.
Okay, how about elip?
Elip. Elip means it's the first, it's the original, and it's also something that comes before. So elip, elip. So I'd like to give the word hee hee to Danny.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like how it sounds. Laugh, fun, funny, merry, joke, humor, and play. And I know Marcia used it to describe a celebration of her anniversary.
Like a party.
A party, yeah.
So I think that this is, he is one of the, there's a lot of words in jargon because jargon is not a very, doesn't have a lot of words to it. So sometimes words are about concepts. So you can see here with the word he, it's about anything related to fun, whether it's telling the joke, you know, the joke or the laughter or the humor, the idea of humor itself or merriment. It's this whole concept of just fun and having fun. That's what he, mm-hmm. what he is. Okay, let's see. Penny, how about, Penny, how about the word icked?
Icked is, actually we used that last week. Icked means one. Tonight we are on our second one, but we had our ICT session of lessons and of actually the medicine wheel. So ICT means one, and I give the word couple to Jack. Are you playing, Jack?
No, I'm not. I don't have any reference material.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, then I will give it to Marcia.
Kapo. Kapo means older brother or sister that's older than a person who's speaking. And so kapo would be a word, just like Laura was saying, that I might actually apply that word to my cousin, because in the native languages, we don't, you guys hear Roy and myself talk about each other as cousins. We're probably fourth removed of cousins, really. You know, we have this common great, maybe three greats grandmother, and then we've descended down from there. So we're cousins to that really wide degree, but he would still be Kapo to me because he's my cousin. All right, Judy, let's do the word Lolly. I'm sorry, on here it's Laylee. Judy, Laylee.
Laylee with an L.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Laylee means time, prolonged A for greater time. Laylee, such as that, huh?
Yeah. You slept for a long time.
My fourth great joke. Lay.
And
go ahead, Danny.
Oh, I was just remembering that you think of ways to remember the word, and you're talking about sleeping, so that's like laying down.
Hey, that's good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Lay. So let's have Laura Lepee.
What's the word?
Lepi.
Lepi.
Merci? Mossy?
No, it's an L. L-E-P-E-E. Lepi.
It's French. That's why Judy likes it, it's French.
We've got, on our thing here, we've got Lepi. Is that what you're talking about, the foot?
Yes.
Oh, okay. My ears are not wonderful. Okay. Yeah, it has anything actually to do with your lower extremities. So it could be your foot, feet, leg. On an animal, it could be a paw or a hoof. It can mean the thigh or it can mean the footprint. So Lepi, that definitely comes from French. Yeah, we have lots and lots of loan words from French and from English. Cool. Okay. Let me see. This is one you might be able to figure out, Richard. Do you know the word cly? C-L-Y, cly.
I don't think so.
Okay, so remember they couldn't say R's, so they substituted an L.
Right.
So if you...
Cly.
Yeah, Cly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom, for putting that on the screen.
Okay.
Did he put something on a screen?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
No, I guess I did. Sorry.
Oh. Okay. Choose somebody, Richard.
Let's go with Judy.
Okay, and I will ask Marcia.
There we go. Okay.
Uh-huh. Mossy.
Mm-hmm.
Mossy. Well, mossy is one of the very most common words that you hear, and it means thank you, mossy. And that's also, I assume, a French loanword for merci, but jargon is pronounced mossy. Mossy.
Mm-hmm.
Mossy.
Yes. Like mossy, moss on a branch or the rock or something. That's the way it's pronounced, mossy.
Okay, Danny, let's do an N-word. Nanich.
Nanich. Oh, man. I haven't practiced.
Or Nanich.
Is it Nanich? I
can't find it. Nanich is what we have on our paper.
Okay.
To look. Observe, see.
Nanich.
Yeah, and seek, perceive, view, manage.
Good.
Yeah, that's another one of what I call a concept word. You know, it covers the whole idea of looking for something, either actually seeing it or searching for it.
Okay, can I just pick a word? Penny, polackly, or polackly?
Polackly.
Yeah.
Polackly. Okay. That means, oh, night. I remember that one because you did Silent Night. And I just put my arm on the scroll button. Sorry about that. Polackly means night or night-like.
Mm-hmm.
So Judy, There's no Q words, is that correct?
Right.
And right.
It looks like the next word in our dictionary is the S word, so I'm going to say six.
Sick is like a sound, sick.
S-I-K-H-S.
Sick or sick or ill.
Well, this is the one right after that. It's pronounced six, and it's spelled S-I-K-H-S.
Six, yeah.
And it means,
that means friend.
Friend, yeah, there you go.
I get it confused with Tilikum. Tilikum, according to my family, was like family. Tilikum meant more like family than it did native person. So.
Mm-hmm.
Penny, I see that it's seven. Maybe we need to close.
Oh my goodness. I was having so much fun. I lost track of time. I am sorry.
But after S... After S is only T, W, Y.
Okay.
Maybe we can combine them.
There you go. Why don't you guys do those three? And then we'll close out.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay, Marcia, Tagum.
Tagum means six. Tagum. Yeah, it's just the number six, Tagum. Okay. Danny, Wawa.
Oh, talk, speech, anything to do with speech, written, printed, or spoken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the name of the language, Chinook Wawa, you know, language.
Words.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Danny, you get to close us out.
Okay. I skipped the O's, but okay.
That's all right.
Okay. Do the wise.
Yawa. Marcia.
Yawa. Yawa means there, like over there. So I always say Yawa has a long ah, meaning far away, you know. And Yakwa means here. Yakwa, that's a coming in sound for me. So I have Yawa and Yakwa. All right. Mm-hmm. Good job. That was fun.
Cool.
Excellent. Well,
I enjoyed it.
That was fun. We get a little quicker and a little better each week. So right. Thank you. Thanks to every one of you for being a part of this storytelling hour, this learning hour, to the people in the room, and to the people who will view this room in the future. Thanks to our editor and tech support. And to remind you that each lesson is preserved and can be viewed on the Unity website. And with that, I am going to say good night. Thank you for being here. And I will see you again next Thursday.
All right.
Masi.
Okay. Mahalia.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. Bye-bye.